Good morning. Welcome to the Crossings Church. We are excited that you guys are here with us, whether you're members or visitors. We've got a lot of exciting stuff coming up. Before I even jump in, you guys have some bulletins, and there's lots of different things I want to kind of walk through real fast. Number one is we have a men's retreat coming up next weekend, all right? So if you are a man, you need to be at this. If you're a little boy, little high schoolers that want to be a man one day, you need to come to this, all right? Junior high kids, we love, this is a great event. It's one of my favorite events we do all the year. It's probably because I have a wife and three daughters. It's just super nice to be at a men's retreat, you know? But it is a great time. We get together. There's lots of sports that are playing there. There's basketball on the courts. There's fishing. There's lots of just different activities that they do while we're there. But first and foremost, the coolest thing about it is that we get to hear some men talk about what it takes to be a man. And we get to look through scripture, and we get to look through examples. And this year we're talking about how God makes men in these 10 epic stories, 10 different men in scripture that we can look at and look at their lives and say, this is the kind of man that I aspire to be. Or these are the kind of things or the kind of traits in these men that God has revealed in his word on what I should look for when I become a man. If you guys are like me, I'm trying to break cycles. I grew up without a dad. I grew up without a father in the home. I grew up in a very dysfunctional life, and I wanted to break that cycle. I wanted to learn how to become a man that was going to be stable and loyal to his wife, that was going to be loyal to his kids, that was going to be able to be disciplined and have a job and get these things lined up, things that I never experienced growing up. And it was things like the men's retreat that I got to watch it modeled by other men, but I got to get into scripture and see things that really pertain to me and my situation. And so I encourage anyone and everyone in this room that is a man to be at this retreat this weekend. It is not too late to sign up, and there's information on the card on how to sign up. If you need rides, we always carpool down, so you don't have to worry about those things either. We'll make sure you get connected, okay? Following that, don't worry, ladies, at least your mothers, we've not forgotten about you. We have a Mother's Day brunch coming up the following weekend. But I need to make a note now because we had a typo on our bulletins. On the back of your bulletin, it says May 3rd. That's actually May 10th because the 3rd is next weekend and we'll be at the men's retreat. So, Mother's Day brunch, we've done it the last few years here. It is incredible. We love it. It's a great time to bring your moms. If you are a mom, whatever it is for you, we have a brunch set up. It's all free. It's on the 10th of May instead of the 3rd. And we really encourage you guys to just bring, we have awesome food that we have set up for you guys, and it's going to be a great event as well. So a couple cool things coming up this spring before we get kind of going into the summer pretty deep, but I just want to make sure that you guys are knowing about those things as we move along. All right, let's jump into the sermon today. So we are in the middle of a sermon series talking about improving your serve and getting in shape and all these different things that we've kind of been walking through. We took a little break last week with the Easter, but we're talking about improving your serve, okay? And when we think about improving your serve, it's kind of more of a play on words because we have like a tennis person serving, but we're talking about your servitude to your Lord. Talking about how service shows up in your life and how you can improve that. And if you know anything about Christianity, you know anything about God, you know that service and the word serve is always right there next to it. We've heard this so redundantly. It's just something that should be common knowledge at this point. Whether you're a Christian or not, you know that there's an element of the Christian faith that involves service. Peter even says this here in 2 Peter 1:12. It says, you already know these things. You know that they are completely true, but because they are important, I will continue to tell you about them again and again. While I'm still alive on this earth, I will continue to make sure that you remember them. You know, there are certain themes in Scripture that we hear over and over and over again. And I think sometimes when we hear things so many times, they tend to lose their impact or their seriousness. Probably the most overheard theme in Scripture is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, right? We've all heard that. We've heard that so many times. But the reason I think that Paul or that Peter says these things and he says, listen, you've heard this stuff so many times and I'm going to keep telling you and keep telling you and keep telling you is so that you remember them. I think the reason he says that is because we can hear that Jesus died on the cross so many times, hundreds, thousands, thousands of times in our lives. But yet when you leave church on Sunday, does your life reflect what you now know? Or does your life just change for an hour and a half on a Sunday morning because you're hearing it like you heard it for the very first time? You're like, you know what? I got a little motivated today. I feel like I want to serve. I feel like I want to live my life like somebody gave their life for me. But then you get to Monday, Tuesday, and it's like you remember it, but like you're not really thinking about it. But then you get to Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and you're like, I totally forgot. I'm just doing whatever I want to do with my life. You see, Peter wanted to continue to say things and repeat things because so many times we hear things repeated and we don't change our lives because of what we now know. The knowledge has not transformed us. The knowledge is just a mental capacity that we now keep in our brain like everything else, like a stat. You know, stats don't change your life, right? You know, if you know stats on basketball teams' records or baseball teams' averages or whatever it is that you guys are into, that doesn't change your life. It's just knowledge. But what Peter's trying to get us to say is, listen, I'm going to keep telling you these things so that you remember them. And this remembrance isn't just a knowledge. This remembrance is a lifestyle change. And it can be easy to know I'm supposed to serve, but then you live a whole week without service. You don't find any opportunities to serve your Lord, and you don't find any opportunities to serve others, but you know it's what you're supposed to do because you've heard it so many times. And just like Peter's talking about this, that's kind of what we're going to talk about today too, is you might have heard this before. You might have heard a lot of things we're going to talk about today before. But the problem is if you're not doing these things and you haven't tried these things and these things aren't a part of your way of life, then you really haven't remembered these things yet. There's a difference between knowledge and remembrance because remembrance brings about application. And Peter's trying to encourage people, I need you to remember this when you go home. I need you to remember these things when you walk through life because that's going to change your life, not just a cognitive knowledge of what it is. Okay, so we're going to be talking about service today. And the first thing we're going to talk about in your guys' notes, you guys have some notes that you guys can follow along with us, and I think we tapped on this the other day, but number one is that Jesus saved me by serving me. We have a model. Jesus saved me by serving me. And so we know that there is a model of what has been done for us, and that is going to be the motivating factor as to why we are supposed to do this ourselves. In Philippians 2, 6 through 8, it says, in his very nature, he was God. It's talking about Jesus Christ here, right? In his very nature, he was God. They were one. But he did not think that being equal with God was something he should hold on to. So even knowing that Jesus Christ was equal with God, he knew that wasn't something that he needed to do to show how much he loved us and how much he was willing to serve us. Instead, he made himself nothing. He took on the very nature of a servant. So he went from the Lord, the Creator, the Master of the universe. He went from this top tier King of Kings and still was, but chose to lose all that to become the lowest of the low, the servant. And he appeared as a man. And he obeyed God completely, even though it led to his death. In fact, he died on a cross. You see, Jesus transformed himself to become a servant to give you an opportunity to have an everlasting relationship with your Creator. And when you recognize that's what Jesus was willing to do for you, it should bring some part of your life, there should be some part of your mind and your heart that is compelled that says, what am I supposed to do now? What am I supposed to do because I now know this? And for people who know it, they're not going to do anything. But people who remember it, people that can't get it out of their heads, that it's just stuck with you for the rest of your life, that you know that somebody died for you. So Jesus, for some reason, loses the impact because he died for all. But could you imagine if somebody, if you were walking down the street and somebody pushed you out of the way of a bus and they got ran over and they died, would you ever forget that? If it was personally done and you felt the push and you fell out and you watched somebody literally get slaughtered because they were just trying to save you, That image you would never forget. And there would be a part of you that would ask that question, what am I supposed to do knowing what I know just happened? That guy might have had a family. He might have had kids. He might have been in a good position in his life. He might have had all these things set up, but for some reason, he thought it was so much more important to sacrifice his life for mine. Man, he must have really thought that my life mattered for him to lose his life. And if you've ever read about Jesus in Scripture, you're going to recognize very quickly that that slaughter was much more drawn out and much more bloodier and much more worse. But that was also done for you. And that wasn't just done so you could live the rest of your life on earth, like maybe somebody jumping in front of a bus. That was done that you could have a home after this earth. That was done so you could find somewhere to go after your time here. And when you remember that, then you start asking the questions, well, what am I supposed to do now? If my life mattered that much to Jesus Christ, what does he want me to do? And that's where service comes into play. The second point is that Jesus sanctified me to serve others. He did this, why? He did this so you could be serving others. You know, another way, sanctification is a kind of a churchy word. You could change that word to just being set apart. You know, Jesus set you apart to be able to serve others. He did this to give you hope in an everlasting life and a future. But what you can do, since he's set you apart, is you get to now serve for the rest of your life. It says in John 13:13-16, it says, Jesus said, Do you understand what I've done to you? You address me as teacher and master, and rightly so, because that's who he was, right? Because he was one with God. That is what I am. So if I, the master and teacher, washed your feet, you must now wash each other's feet. I've laid down a pattern for you. What I've done, you do. You see, the sacrifice on the cross wasn't just an action for Jesus. It was a model for your life. To watch what had happened, to watch somebody lay it all on the line, to give everything up for somebody else, was the model that Jesus put in place for you to be able to give to somebody else. And this is a pay it forward kind of religion that will go on and on and on, and it's meant to change generations. You know, there's a reason why Christianity is still Christianity. Religions die out. Some religions are non-existent anymore. But there has been a generational pattern of disciples that have laid their lives down to reach other disciples since Jesus died on the cross that has led us to where we are at right now in this room. This has stemmed from Jesus dying on the cross. And you guys have an opportunity today to be a part of what happened on the cross for yourself and for the next generation. And it's because of you answering the call to serve. And so we got to talk about this idea of service. Because the third point here is that Jesus shaped me to serve others. And that might be already filled in on your notes, but Jesus shaped you. He has created you to serve others. In Job 10:8, it says, your hands shaped me and made me. In Psalms 139:13, it says, oh yes, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. So Jesus has shaped us and molded us to serve others. And maybe you're at a place today and you're like, you know what? I don't even know where to start. I don't know what I'm good at. I don't know what service is. I don't know how to serve. I don't know where to serve. I don't know if I'm going to be good at serving. Well, this is a great day to be at the Crossings Church because we're going to walk through this and we're going to give you guys this acronym SHAPE It's actually something that Rick Warren did years ago, and it's brilliant. But it's a way for you to look at your life and look at some different things that Scripture kind of identifies as a way to shape yourself into service. And for some of you guys, maybe you guys have been members of the church, and maybe you guys have been Christians for a while, and you're looking at this, and you're like, I just haven't really found my thing yet, and this is going to be a great sermon for you guys to kind of introspectively look into your own lives and see what areas maybe you guys can mature and develop in, or maybe have more of a humble heart to look at some things. For some of you guys, maybe you're investigating a relationship with God, and you're trying to figure out where am I supposed to start? Man, service is a great place to start if you're wanting to get to know God. Just finding some humility in your life to say, you know what, it's not all about me. That's a great, great place to start, and trying to figure out how God wants me to connect to Him and His people. And that's through service. So let's walk through this idea of shape. Let's walk through this way of how God is shaping us and how Jesus shaped us in the womb and created us all different but with the same purpose. That's our theme this year, you know. We are one, and it's on the front of your bulletin, United as One. That we're all different. We're cut from the same cloth, though, as being united, but we don't all look the same. We don't all act the same. We don't all have the same experiences and backgrounds, but we're all called to serve the same person. And how we serve others may look different, but our goal is the same. And so let's look through some things, right? Let's start with S, okay? S, the thing we need to identify is spiritual gifts, all right? So Ephesians 4:7 says, He has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. You see, you have a gift whether you think you do or not. God has blessed you with something, whether you believe it or not. And that's a great place to start today, is for you to recognize you have a use, whether you believe it or not. You have a purpose, whether you believe it or not. You have a calling, whether you believe it or not. God has given you this, whether you believe it or not. And these things could be anything. It could be the ability to teach, to encourage, to have good administration, to have good leadership. Any of these things are things that God has been able to give to us in our lives. And these supernatural abilities, you know, when the Holy Spirit works within us, we get these talents and these abilities the moment we become a believer. But God gives each person different talents and different abilities. And maybe these talents and abilities you already know. Like, you may know that you're pretty good at encouragement, or you may know that you're pretty good at administration. You may know that you already have these talents and abilities, but before you knew God, you may have not known how to use it the right way. But I do believe that whenever you are a Christian, you become a Christian at that moment of baptism, I do believe that God has given us these talents and abilities to work within us and maybe not just around us. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, God helps each of us with a gift from His Spirit. He does that so that we can help others. And I think that God has given us these gifts, and whenever the Holy Spirit dwells within us at that point of baptism and He starts working within us, and there's supernatural things that we can now do because of the Holy Spirit working within us, those gifts start to really show up. And maybe that's where you're at, is like, maybe you do have gifts and talents, but you don't know how to use them, and maybe it's because God has not dwelled within you yet. And you need to look at Scripture and see what baptism really symbolizes and what the Holy Spirit is really calling you to do and to dwell and work within you. Or maybe you don't even know. And for some of you guys, you're probably like me, that you didn't really know what your gifts and what your talents were. And then when I became a disciple, when I became a Christian, and I started learning and working in God's kingdom, things started to show up that I never thought I had in the first place. Hey, man, I'm actually pretty good at this. I actually work well in this area. I never thought that this was something that I could do. And you never found that out until you started working with God and His people. That might be where you're at today. For some of us, we don't know what that gift is. And it's kind of like Christmas, right? For some of you guys, you know, we did the whole Santa thing at our house, and my mom would hide gifts. I think it was more so that I didn't try to peek, you know. But for you guys that didn't do that, and you'd see your presents, and they'd be laying under the tree, and they'd be sitting there for a week or two, and you'd just be staring at them. And you're like, what's in there? What is in there? And you wait for mom to go to bed, and then you get up there and you start shaking it a little bit. You try to like pull the tape off, but you know she got like the good tape, so it like rips the packaging, so like you can't take the tape off. But if you got the cheap tape, you could, you know, you could pull it off and put it right back. Nobody would really know, right? We know all about the kinds of tapes that we have on the presents, right? We try to open it up real quick and then peek and then put it back, right? You know there's a gift there, and you know it's got your name on it. You just don't know what it is. Well, what I believe about Scripture is when you get baptized, you get to open that present. And God's like, here's your gift. It's been yours all along. It's just now you get to understand what it is and how to use it. And I think that's a great indicator of what working in a local church can do, is to help you understand and experience these gifts that God has given you and wanted you to experience for yourself for so long. And maybe you just haven't had the opportunity to tap into some things that God has given you without knowing what they were. And maybe you have them. So the question is, what has surfaced after I was immersed? So if you are a disciple and you have seen these gifts and these talents, what things have surfaced in your life that you feel like today is a very, there's lots of questions today for you to fill out on your own to figure out where you fit into this grand scheme of how the church functions and how, and when I say the church, I'm not talking about Crossings Collinsville. The church in Scripture is the body of believers. It's everyone who calls themselves a Christian, and you are a part of that if you have surrendered yourself to Christ. And so what has surfaced in your life that you feel like was not present before that? Is there more encouragement? Is there more opportunities for leadership? Is there more teaching? Is there things going on in your life that are like, I never knew this? But try to think of some things that you do well, or that you didn't do before you're a Christian. And that's our spiritual gifts, right? So that's where we start. The H is for hearts. Okay? The H is your hearts. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, above everything else, guard your heart. Everything you do comes from it. You see, we got to talk about passion a little bit today, because I think God drives us through our passions to serve Him and others. And so we have to figure out what it is that we're passionate about in life. In John 2:17, it says, and it came to the minds of the disciples that the writings say, I am on fire with passion for your house. When it comes to service, what are you passionate about? What do you love to do? That's the question here, is what do I love to do with my life? Are there certain elements in my life that I'm very passionate about? Is it my social life? Do I just love being around other people? Is it hobbies and things like that? And we're going to dip into that in a little bit too, but don't go too deep on the hobbies and talents and abilities. We're going to hit that here in a little bit. But what are the things that you're so passionate about? Is there certain relationships that you just love to spend time with? Is there certain people that you love spending time with? Is there certain areas in your life that you love to work, or that you love to read, or that you love to speak, or that you love to just be around others? What are the passions? Because everything comes out of your heart, and everything's going to be driven by that. And I'd encourage you to look at all those things and recognize that your first and foremost passion should be to Jesus Christ, should be to your Creator, because if your heart is so passionate about what He did for you, and you are so much in love with the idea of what was sacrificed for you and what was done for you and who created you and what they created you to be, and you find and fall in love with that, that is the greatest passion to have, because it will fuel and drive you in every area of your life. So this is kind of like a trick question in a way, because the passions in your heart, there should be things in your life that you love to do, but if they ever supersede your heart and your love for God, you're never really going to be able to tap into service the way that God has called you to. Man, I love sports. I love watching sports. I love being around sports. Well, there's a place in ministry for that, but whenever that love supersedes the love you have for your Creator, it's going to be hard to serve. It's going to be hard to put that in front of God and still do well. So we got to ask ourselves where our heart's at in this shaping, right? Our spiritual gifts, we got to look at our heart. And then our third one is our abilities. Now we're getting a little specific. Some people say, now we're getting to church tryouts, right? We're trying to figure out who's good and who's not. Where are our abilities at? Let's line up and let's run a mile, see who can, let's get our best times. No, it's not like that at all. We're not looking at abilities like this, right? But our abilities is knowing that we do have abilities that we are capable of doing. And Romans 12:6, it says, God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. Now, wait a minute. Doesn't Scripture also say that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? We've heard that, right? Well, what's the difference here? Well, just because God gives you the ability to do all things does not mean you're going to do them all well, right? I got to make sure I clear those two out, right? Because one of them takes a ready and willing heart, and one of them is skilled and has the abilities, right? So I could put somebody in charge of directing traffic into the parking lot, right? And they can do all things through Christ strengthens them, but that parking lot might be a mess afterwards, right? There might be wrecks and things like that. As long as nobody died, right, I was able to do something through Christ who strengthened me, but it doesn't necessarily mean that I did it well, right? And so a lot of things when it comes to servitude is recognizing first and foremost, your abilities should not always dictate what you do for the Lord, because God has always called us to be ready and willing with a servant heart to do all things through Christ who strengthened me and say, here I am, send me no matter what it is. But to recognize through your ministry and through your life that he wants to shape you to find the things that you do well, but it does not necessarily mean that you will do all things well. And that might take some humility. That might take some people coming into your life saying, listen, you may think you're pretty good at this, but maybe we should try some other areas in the church. You know, maybe we should try some other things out. And I said this in teacher service today, if you're going to get any catchphrase that I've created or any coined, you know, a phrase that I say today, is that you will never find your real abilities until you have humility. You see, because sometimes we are so arrogant to say, this is my strength. This is what I'm good at. And I don't want to do anything else. And when you have that arrogance and you don't let humility to come in and says, hey, listen, you guys are a little bit older than me. You're a little bit more mature. You're a little bit wiser in your relationship with Christ. Where do you see me doing well? If you don't have that kind of heart, you may never tap into the real abilities that God has put into your life. The real capabilities, because sometimes you may have abilities right now, but also there might be times in your life that you don't know what you're really capable of. Have you ever went through life thinking that there's something that you can't do, that you're not capable of doing, that you don't have the strength to do, or you don't have the public speaking knowledge, or you don't have the security to do? I mean, I think we all have, right? Well, that contradicts Scripture when it says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Because God knows that you can do anything. You may not know that yet. So who are you to say that you don't have the ability to maybe do something that maybe somebody else does see in you? That's one of the coolest things about, you know, I used to be a coach, I used to be a PE teacher. One of my favorite things was being able to see something in a kid that he didn't see in himself. And be able to say, you know what, if we tweak a couple things, you could be a crazy pitcher. You could do some wild things. You could go pretty far. And what I love now that I get to use that talent in campus ministry is I love working with our college students that come in and they don't have any abilities that they think they have, but I see potential. And I'm like, listen, if you try this out, you have no idea how far you could go. If you want to try this out, and sometimes it's hit or miss, right? You got to play matchmaker. You need to be like, let's try this out. Ooh, maybe that was my bad. Let's come over here. Let's try this out now, okay? That's a much better fit. Look at how good you're doing. I apologize for putting you over here, right? But let's try it here now, right? And so there's some trial and error in finding your real abilities in a relationship with God. and how it should be used in ministry. But what I will say is you have to have the humility to be able to say, let's try these things. You know how annoying it is to have somebody come to church and say, listen, I only want to work in the children's ministry. That's my only talent. And if I can't work there, I'm not going to work anywhere else in the church. It's kind of arrogant, don't you think? Well, I'm going to work in the children's ministry, but I'm not working with the preschoolers, man. Those little ankle biters will tear me up. I need the older kids. I need the older kids. They need to be able to write their name, not slobber on me, right? That's kind of arrogant for you to think that you're... So you're telling me you're not capable of working with anything else? You're telling me that you're limiting what you think you can do? Oh, man, I can only pour coffee. That's it. I'm not making it. I'm just going to pour it, all right? Don't ask me to talk to nobody. I'm going to be behind the scenes. You just yell at me like I'm a fry cook. Just tell me what I got to make to order. I don't want to socialize with nobody. Just I'll pour the coffee. I'll sweep the floors. That's how small you're limiting your capabilities that God has created you. He's made you in his own image. And you think he has made you in his own image just to pour coffee by yourself quietly? That's what you've limited your God to? Because you are a model, you are a mirror of your creator, and you think that's all he can do? No. Guys, there's so much more that you're capable of. But you've got to find the humility to let people come into your life and let you trial and error things and build and find opportunities. I said this in the teacher service, nobody goes into McDonald's and becomes a GM on day one, right? You start out as a fry cook. And through your experience, through your time, you watch the line or the head cook or whatever it is, or the assistant manager, and you build your way up the chain because you watched it, you've experienced it, you've even modeled it a little bit, and you build confidence. You say, you know what? I think I can do that too. I don't think any of you guys in this room think that all you're going to be ever in your life is a fry cook at McDonald's. And if you do, I feel very sad for you. What do you want to be when you grow up? A fry cook, McDonald's. It's got a nice 401k plan, right? You know, you can pick my hours. I can work as much as I want. Minimum wage, it's great. No, nobody wants that. Nobody aspires to be to that. So don't limit yourself in God's kingdom either. Don't say, all I'm going to be is an attender. All I'm going to be is somebody that's placed in one small ministry and I said, and that's it. But God can build you into incredible things. Guys, we're growing as a church. We need more leaders. We need people that have maturity and experience to be able to work in other people's lives. We want to plant churches. We want not just a campus minister. I want a second campus minister at a different church. We want more preachers. We need other children's ministers. We need other people that can be the coffee minister. We need other worship teams. We need other media teams. Like, we need more people because we want to multiply. But also, we're going to die someday. Who's going to take the torch? Who's this going to be passed on to? If you don't think you have the abilities, you may not have them yet, but until you get the humility to find those capabilities, you will never grow into that and the church will die. The reason we have what we have today is because the torch was passed for generations to people who did not have abilities, who were broken in the world, who were hopeless and lost, and God brought them in and people raised them up and they took the mantle and they are what they are today. And you guys are all a part of that process. But just don't limit yourself. Don't limit yourself to what you are currently. Dream for what you can be with Christ and his people. So what are you good at? Start there. Start somewhere and let people work with you to build you. What are you good at? All right, the P is personality. Our personality, oh boy, I'm an introvert. Oh boy, I'm an extrovert, right? I'm not a people person, right? 1 Corinthians 12:6 says, God works through different people in different ways. I'll say this, guys, there's no right temperament for ministry. There's also no right temperament for people. But everyone has their own temperament, and those personalities impact how you use your spiritual gifts and your abilities. But your personality does matter. And knowing your temperament's important because of how you can utilize it. And I think sometimes churches try to get like a cookie cutter image of what every single person should be like. Everyone should be an extrovert. Everybody should be crazy, blah, 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 right? And that's not, I don't think, what God has called us to be, but I think our personality plays a huge role in knowing how you operate and how you function and how you can be an example and a light, right? I think it's totally fine to be an introvert. I don't think there's anything wrong with people who are naturally introverts. What I have a problem with is people that say, I'm an introvert, so I'm not really called to reach lost people. I'm not really a people person. I think that's unbiblical. I think when somebody says, I'm kind of an introvert, so like when we go to like a hangout or meeting people, I'm kind of the person that's kind of back in the corner, kind of quiet on my phone. And I let the extroverts kind of like make the social presence and let them reach the lost people. I'm not really, you know, that's not the same thing, guys. I think God has called us all to seek and save the lost. But when we know our temperament, we can know how to utilize it. Good example. Mr. Reggie Conley is in the crowd, you know. Reggie will probably never come on the stage and preach to you guys. Just hate to say it, Reggie, but you're kind of more of an introvert, right? Yeah, total agreement. He would never want to do that either. He would say, thank you. He's let people in his life say, you know what, Reggie, let's move you somewhere over here because that's not really your spiritual gift here, right? But I will tell you what, Reggie being one of the most, you know, timid kind of guys, I guess, in his demeanor, is one of the men I respect more than anyone on this earth. And I love Reggie because of that. Because Reggie's been a man who's served me and my family in an exponential way. And he doesn't do it with fancy words. And he doesn't do it with these cool extroverted techniques. He just loves. And he knows his personality, and he knows his temperament, and he does it well. And the thing about Reggie is if you get him in a room and he starts talking to you, he won't shut up. He's a rambler, right? But he's a lover. And he's found his way to use his temperament, and he's served well. And I think when you look at people like that that can model that, you can look at yourself and say, I don't got to be the flashy guy on stage to have an impact on the world. I just got to know how my temperament's used, and I need to use it well. And maybe you are somebody that is flashy, and you're very extroverted, and you're loud, and you're crazy, and you kind of go whatever. Pretty much the DNA of an anemishon, right? Any anemishons in the room, right? All these anemishons in the room. You guys are crazy extroverts, every single one of you, right? The whole family clan is here now, and they are all crazy, right? But I love this family to death, and it was crazy to see through how each and every one of their extroverted ways, they were able to reach their siblings one at a time. And now I watch each and every one of you guys impact your ministries by being the crazy loud ones every single time, you know? And I love that because the church needs that. They have that temperament, and we need that temperament. And the more temperaments that can be understood and utilize their ways, the greater the kingdom grows. And so it's important for you guys to figure out what is your temperament and not try to have somebody change your temperament, but for you to understand your temperament and use it the way that God has called you to. Now, there should be some pushing out of your comfort zones a little bit, but when it comes to your temperament, you just got to learn how to use it in a way that God has called you to. So that's our personality. And the last one I want to land on today is our experiences. And this one's big. This one rounds the whole circle of the shape, right? This one rounds it out because this one has so many significant pieces to it. Experiences is what drives the shape because of the things that you have been exposed to that nobody else in this room has been exposed to. Certain things that only you can utilize because of the life events that you have walked through. And so let's start with our educational stuff, right? And sometimes we'll break some of these down and be like, well, how does that come into play, right? Look at your education. Were you like a straight-A student in high school? Did you even make it through high school, right? Did you do school? Did you go to college? Did you do post-college? What's your educational status, right? What did you do for school? What did you enjoy in school? Was it math? Was it history? Was it PE? Was it not being there? What did you enjoy when it was school? What are the things that you love and drive you? Because those are the things, believe it or not, that God finds traits and talents and abilities through. You may be able to have connections because of your degree or because of your experience. Or honestly, the opposite. You may connect with people because they got their GEDs just like you did, you know, and being like, oh man, we both dropped out. That's crazy. Let's connect and talk about God. That's no different than two guys being like, oh, we both have doctorates. That's crazy. Let's talk about God, right? It doesn't matter where you're at, but knowing your educational background is huge because those life events can very easily connect to other people's life events. And knowing that and recognizing that you can still utilize those things, not as an arrogance or as an insecurity, but using them with a purpose. What about your vocational, your job history, the kind of things that you do or the kind of things that you're good at? Are you a tradesman? Do you work well? Well, how does that work? Well, believe it or not, we own a building and it needs work. You know, like we need people that know how to do things and we don't just want to put somebody that's never done anything on a job. We could do the whole here I am, send me, but it doesn't mean you're going to do it well, right? I don't want somebody not doing it well to paint our building up, but somebody who's a painter, well, there you go, right? I used to be a PE teacher and I'm like, well, how does that work? Well, we do all of our church camps in the summertime and I organize a lot of the sports and a lot of the events that we do at our camps. And I'm like, I can do this pretty well, whereas some other people might be like, oh, I don't know how to organize this many kids and do these kind of sports and put together these kind of events for this amount of kids. And I'm like, well, good for me. I have the education and the job background to figure this thing out to make it go well for the kingdom, right? And your jobs should not be dismissed and clocked out whenever you guys go to work because you do a job that you can somehow find a way to utilize it in the ministry. Do you, you know, what is it that you do? And maybe right next to that, how can my job be used in the church? How can what I get paid for pay it forward to the church? Because there's all kinds of abilities that each and every one of you guys have with your vocation. It could even be something small. But our jobs and what we've been trained in and your job history and the experience and the skills that you have built in those areas are not just meant to be left at those places. I'm kind of like a jack of all trades, man. I've done so many jobs for my life. Like I used to own like a lawn care system company in high school, and I've done a lot of stuff here with the landscaping and digging stuff out. I was a PE teacher, and I just talked about how you use that kind of stuff. I've done I've done windows, like window screens repairs. I now stream on TikTok. I sell Pokemon cards. And I'm like, I do so many different things. I've had so many different jobs. I've been teacher's aides over the years. I've done so many different things, and I found a way for each and every one of those facets to be able to be utilized in God's kingdom because of the experience that it has brought me with those kind of things. So don't dismiss all of these things because there's so much service that could be found in these areas. What about relational backgrounds, right? Who are you relationally tied to? Do you have connections with people that you can serve in your job? Do you know people? Do you have relational ties to your family that people that are in your house or cousins or brothers or sisters or nieces or nephews or aunts or uncles? Who are your relational ties to? What are the significant life events? Man, I got a lot of siblings. I got a lot of nieces and nephews. Maybe I might be good with working with kids because I have so many relational connections to all these different people. I don't know. But there might be a connection there because of all your experience, right? So look at your relational background and all the different things that you have exposure to that maybe other people don't have relational ties to. And see your connections there. Recreational, that's another huge one. What do you like to do in your free time? What are your sports? What are your hobbies? What do you enjoy? Do you like sports? Do you follow sports? Do you watch sports? Okay, if that's the case, do you utilize that? Do you open up your house and let people come watch sporting events with you? Do you serve people by providing a house? My house isn't the cleanest, it's not the greatest. Well, I'll challenge you there real quick because God calls you to be a steward of what he's given you, and so maybe you should utilize your house more than you do. But maybe if not, do you use Buffalo Wild Wings? Do you go to sports bars? Do you go to places with people and watch the games and get together and utilize that recreational thing to connect? I'm not a sports person, but I definitely like baking. All right, great. Let's talk about that for a minute. Do you bake with other people? Do you bring people into your home? Do you feed these masses of students? Like, do you feed these college kids and these high school kids? Because sometimes they don't have good food to eat. I was a kid growing up that whenever I wanted to eat, I had to wait for my mom to come home with Jack in the Box tacos, or I had some TV dinners in the freezer. That's what I grew up on for a lot of my stuff, right? As my mom got a little older, we started making some more decent foods. I learned how to cook a little bit, and bada bing, bada boom, now I cook a lot of food for a lot of college kids all the time, right? Do you utilize that? Wes smokes and he, barbecue. Wes smokes barbecue, right? And so, Wes likes to smoke barbecue, and he's always bragging about it, right? Good thing I caught myself there on the audio. That would have been bad, right? He does a lot of barbecue, and he likes to do that. He likes to serve, and he likes to make large masses of these things, and he likes to give those things out. What do you like to do with the baking nights, with your craft nights? Like, they're just find what you're interested in. I was talking about this in the children's ministry. For even, like, the sports kids, like, there are so many children in our church that I know their parents have asked me to take them out to do baseball stuff with or to do t-ball stuff with. Do you invest in the little ones? Some of you college and high school guys, all you guys do is play video games. Do you invest in the little ones? Do you bring them alongside of you? I said this, my kids are incredibly spoiled because they're not going to know what it's like to not have a college kid influence their life. But whenever I was a kid, I didn't even think that college kids knew I existed. I never had exposure to a college, let alone college people, until I was a senior in high school and a couple guys in a campus ministry brought me into some party at SIUE. I thought I was the coolest kid in the world. Man, I just graduated high school. I'm already going to college parties. Man, this is crazy, you know? And that was the first time I had ever had exposure to a college person. Could you imagine what it'd be like for you college students to go and invest in some of our junior hires or our high school kids and just do the things you're already going to do? If you're going to play video games, go pick one of them up, and maybe they got a buddy that wants to come along. If you're going to see a movie, why not pick them up? Just go do what you're already going to do on the weekends and invite somebody else into it. Just do what you do recreationally with other people. Finding those things. And then lastly, the one that we don't want to talk about is the painful things. What are the painful life events that you've been through in life? Because believe it or not, those are also life experiences that God wants to use through you. Man, I've been abused. I've had addictions. I went through a divorce. I've been neglected. I've had huge losses in my life. These things I don't like sharing, these things I'm not comfortable talking about. These are all things that still mold your life. And believe it or not, there are people in the world that are struggling the same way you were, and they don't know how to dig themselves out. Think about the things whenever you were stuck in your painful moments in life that you chose to go to. And ask yourself, would you want other people to do the same things that you did? And if I was a struggling alcoholic, and I was selling my money, and I was taking all my kids' money, and I was using that and put it in my addiction, and I was stealing from other people, is that what you want other people to continue to do because they don't find hope? Because you're not willing to share that you can connect with them in that way? Or do you maybe think that God has put you here and God has placed you in a community of people that wants you to use those painful moments to connect to others? And that's why I love our Manasseh Ministries. I love that we have different classes that are taught at this church for people who struggle with porn and addiction and hardships and hurts. But they're taught by people who have lived through those things. They're not taught by professors that are trying to, like, look at science and look at how emotional connections happen. They're taught by real-life people who went through real-life experiences, and they want to connect with people in a relational way to serve them and bring them out into something greater. And so maybe write some of those things down. What are those painful things that God has put into your life that you can now look at and say, God, I can use these. I understand that I don't know how to yet, but I know that you want me to serve you and others through these things. And man, there's so many people in this church that can help you with that. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, "All praise to God. He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us." You see, God wants you to use those troubles to finally give somebody else some comfort that you found yourself. And lastly, Romans 8:28, God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. You see, what I want to end off with is, I wanted to bring a cool little illustration today, but I forgot it. But I want you to imagine that you have a puzzle piece, a jigsaw puzzle piece in your hand, right? And when you look at an actual puzzle piece, like a jigsaw puzzle piece, if you just looked at it by itself, it means nothing, right? You can't really decipher what it's trying to create as the full scope of an image. It's not rounded off very well. It's not squared off very well. It's got lots of different random edges. It doesn't really fit anywhere, right, if you try to place it anywhere. And that is what I want you guys to understand is you. Each one of us is a puzzle piece. And God has created the church, not the Crossings Church, but the church, the body of believers as a whole, as the grand scheme of the puzzle. And your little puzzle piece does not look like much by itself, but when it finds its place, it connects to the greater picture. And that's my goal for you guys today, is to explore this shape and look at your puzzle piece and develop it in a position in a way that you can find where you fit into God's kingdom. Because God is giving us all a piece of the puzzle. And the puzzle will not be completed until Jesus comes back. But our goal is to continue to find our place and help others find their place through serving him and serving others. And so I encourage you guys to evaluate yourselves. I encourage you guys to walk through this. I really encourage you guys, especially if you guys are in small groups here at the church, to talk about these things today, to look at maybe experiences and opportunities that you guys can have with serving others. I encourage you guys to actually pull out this communication card, because this is a great place to start. So on this communication card is an opportunity for you to just reach out to us, to be able to reach out to God and reach out to his people and just communicate on where you're at today. You know, maybe you do know where you need to go and you do know how you need to serve and you do know your talents, you know a lot of stuff, you just haven't been doing it. And maybe this is an opportunity to really recommit back to the things that you know you've been called to do and communicate that. Maybe you're trying to figure out who this whole God thing is and his word and how he has given me these things, and I don't know anything about this stuff. It sounds like I got a lot of cool things lined up for my life, but I don't know anything about them or how to attain them. Maybe you want to check that you'd like to study God's word and get into his word a little bit, and maybe some people that have had similar life experiences with you will come into your life and be able to sit down and walk with you through things that they've walked through themselves. I don't know where you guys are at today, but I do know that God wants us all to know that we're a part of this grand puzzle and that he's given us gifts. He's given us these talents, these abilities, these life experiences, these personalities. He's made you who you are to be so much more than you think you are. And he uses service and ministry for you to experience and find who you're called to be in the first place. And so don't dismiss that today. Don't limit who God is because you're a reflection of him. And do everything you can to be the biggest and greatest servant to experience the most hope and the most purpose that life has for you. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity to be shaped by you, to be shaped in your image, and to be able to live a life that I can walk alongside others to help mold me into what I know Scripture says you've already molded me into. And God, I didn't know what I was capable of. I didn't know my talents. I didn't know my abilities. I didn't know how much you've called me into being a father, being a husband, being a friend, being somebody that can help others see you. God, I didn't believe any of that stuff when I was in high school. And God, it's been so cool to see how you have helped me find my shape, help me. And it's all been through service. It's all been through serving others, working with others, loving others, being with others. And God, I'm so grateful to find a place like the Crossings Church Collinsville where I can show up and be loved, I can be encouraged, I can be trained, I can be supported, I can be challenged, and God, I can be sharpened. And God, I do believe with confidence when I didn't as a high schooler that I can do all things through you. I have security now, and I have confidence now, and those were all things that I lacked when I didn't really know you. And so, God, I pray that today we can look at our lives, we can look at how we can serve, we can look at how we can be shaped, but God, we can find that confidence, like I said, to not limit who you are because we are a reflection of you. And when we doubt ourselves, we doubt you. So, God, I pray that we can have faith in you and faith in ourselves that we can become what you've created us to be from the very beginning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.